What's up, guys? I want to mention that I'm now an affiliate with a company called Bijou Indiscreets. They are a woman-owned and led company of intimate wellness founded on the notion that when you feel good, you enjoy it twice as much. They have an array of products from sex toys, lubes, Kegel balls, libido supplements, and they even have a few crystal dildos if you're into quartz and jade crystals. They're giving all of my listeners 20% off their purchase with the code DIRTY20. So make sure you click the link in my Instagram bio to take advantage of this amazing offer. If you don't follow me on Instagram, go follow me. It's Dirty Blondes Pod on Instagram and pretty much all social. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dirty Blonde. This week, I am joined by Megan Gallagher. She is a two-time TEDx speaker, four-time best-selling author, on-camera host, blogger, and mental health advocate. Hi, Megan. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie. I'm so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to it all week. I cannot wait to talk about my life, my career, and also just getting down to the juicy details of my love life.
Yes. I know. I've been looking forward to this too, since we had our little Zoom chat.
Yes. I have so much to say, and I feel like I am young, but I definitely, at least the last relationship I've been through, I learned like years worth of stuff. So I cannot wait to share.
Awesome. Well, do you want to tell my listeners a little bit about you for the ones who don't know who you are?
Yes. So, hey everyone, what's up? My name is Megan Gallagher. I am a TEDx speaker, author, blogger, on-camera host. I do red carpet hosting. I truly do it all. I also do a lot of like social media, Instagram videos for brands. So maybe like, you know, granola bars, protein shake companies will reach out to me. I kind of do like a, you know, trial review, and then I make a little reel about it. So definitely like lifestyle, fun, blogging. And then, yeah, I got started at 18. I was in community college in LA. And I was really unhappy. Like, I just remember feeling like I was having a midlife crisis. I'm like, I'm too young for that. Like, what is this feeling? Like, I'm not happy. What's going on? And I think a lot of young people can relate to that. Just you're at like a fork in the road and you're like, I don't know what path I want to go down. Like, I, you know, does school make me happy? Should I do it for my parents? Like, I think we all find ourselves in that situation. And so for me, I just knew in my gut, I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I wanted to storytell. I wanted to just help other people and be on stage. And so I literally left college, and from 18, you know, now I'm 26. So for the past 8 years, I've been doing public speaking. I've written books. I've been kind of creating like, yeah, my dream life basically. And it's played out and like, it's exceeded my expectations beyond what I ever thought. So I'm very, very happy and really grateful to be where I am.
That's awesome. I feel like you're living the dream of so many people.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like, it's really fun. It's very rewarding because I am so passionate about it. But I will say, I mean, it's like its own job. Like, it takes a lot of work to consistently keep up and be posting on everything, you know, Snapchat, Facebook, like Twitter, and going on Clubhouse. I mean, it's like nonstop. So I personally have to like set a lot of boundaries with it, or else I kind of get a little too overwhelmed. But I love it. I think it's a great way to connect with people and to be inspired. And I don't know, to me, it's cool because, you know, I can reach people that I never thought I would reach in countries like Australia, New Zealand, and Europe. And, you know, they find my content inspiring and refreshing. So it's, I find it really rewarding, but I love
it. Yeah. It's definitely, I struggle with the content creation with this because this isn't my full-time job, but it's to your point though, I love connecting with my listeners and having them writing questions and just ask for tips and all kinds of stuff. There's nothing better. It's like, it's really great.
It is. It's really, really fun. And like, I seriously, when I'm telling you this, I mean, some people are like, what the heck, but I've made more friends online and then we meet in real life than any other way. Like, I,
No, it's true though. I think that's just like the world that we live in now, you know, whereas like when the internet was kind of coming out when we were younger, it was like, oh, don't talk to online, like people online, like you don't know what they're going to do. They could be all murderers. And now everyone's just like, we're all connecting with so many people across the country, the state, the world. Like, I mean, there's just so many opportunities to meet some really great people.
Yeah. It's like, it really, really is. And I love connecting with people online. It's a really cool, just modern thing that I think this generation sometimes takes for granted. Like, you know, we can get anything at any moment. It's so instant, and we can go be inspired in like 5 seconds and go find motivation anywhere. And so, I pride myself. I love my followers and my fans. And, there have been, you know, fans that have been with me since day one. And I, you know, they still message me and comment sweet stuff. So I'm really inspired by them as well.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. All right. So with my new guests, I always like to play a game called The Dirty Truth. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and then just answer the best that you can. The first question is, what is your biggest pet peeve on dates?
Ooh, I love this question. I would say my biggest pet peeve on dates. Okay. So since I'm like a Scorpio and I'm very like intense and passionate and just that's me, I would say my biggest pet peeve is if the guy is asking no questions about me. That is something I notice every single time. Like, you know, I understand, you know, first date, you're nervous, like you may have not gotten it right, whatever. It's okay. But like, I will never let that out of my mind if the guy just is talking about himself the whole time and then never once is like, oh, so what do you do? Or I love what you do. How many siblings do you have? You know, that is my biggest pet peeve ever.
Yeah. I think a lot of people sometimes almost treat dates like interviews, which is like, it's very one-sided where it's like, oh, it's all about me. And it's like, that's not it.
No, that bothers me so much. And to me, I kind of find that like as a little red flag, if the person is asking literally nothing about you, or it's literally just like something super surface level, like, oh, what are you going to get tonight? Or like, how was your day? I'm like, this is our first date. Like, you should be asking like what? I mean, I go all in. I'm like, so where are you from? What's your horoscope? I want to know everything about this guy. And so I think like my love language too, it all ties into each other, but my love language is like words of affirmation. So if the guy that I'm with is not like telling me like, you're great, you're doing amazing, like that feeds my soul. So that's a really big deal to me.
Name three celebrities you'd quarantine with and why.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Three celebrities I would quarantine. Do they have to be guys?
No, they could be anyone. Just for any reason, but why would you quarantine with them?
Oh my gosh. Okay. First, I would quarantine with Justin Anderson. He is a celebrity hairstylist. He's like Instagram famous. His personality is amazing. I love it. He just doesn't give a shit. And like, he's a Scorpio too, I think. So I feel like we would get along so well and be goofy and just silly. And like, I would get drunk with him in 5 seconds. I don't even drink alcohol. So Justin Anderson, number one. Number two, I would say Heather McMahon. She's a comedian. So damn funny. Like, wetting my pants funny. I would quarantine with her in 5 seconds. Her and her mom, Robin, they're hilarious on Instagram. Third person I would quarantine with, Jesse James Decker. She is one of my favorite country singers, songwriters. She's a New York Times bestselling author. I've loved her since I was 13 years old. She's so funny too. So her and her family, I would quarantine with them and have like amazing home cooked meals.
Yeah.
So those are my top three.
Okay. Awesome. And last question, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever done on a date?
Oh my gosh. It just came to my mind. Okay. So most embarrassing thing I've done on a date, and this is like fully real. It happened too. So I remember in high school, I was on a date, and the town that I grew up in, it's like San Francisco and then a little suburb kind of east of it, like tiny, tiny town. So I grew up in a small town, and like, there was stuff to do, but we always had to like drive, you know, three towns over to go to like the movies and the mall. So in high school, a guy asked me to the movies. That was a big deal. So you know, we go to the movies, it's like a horror movie. It's like, I'm like so flustered and just nervous, but so excited. And then, you know, we're sitting there and it's not a lot of people in the theater. Thankfully it was so dark. But you know, he's putting his arm around me, like getting kind of touchy, and I feel like wetness. And I'm like, wait, what? I was like, it startled me. And I'm like, am I peeing my pants? I'm like, did I just drip soda or water? And it's so awkward because the movie is so like slasher thriller. I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. He's like, okay, for sure. I run to the bathroom. It's my period. Like,
oh no.
First day. I mean, not to be TMI, but like full on first day. And yeah. I'm like, oh,
there's no TMI on this podcast.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. So it was like full blown first day period, like fully soaked through my leggings. And I'm like,
no, that's the worst.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, it could be so much worse. Like wearing black leggings, it's a dark movie theater, not horrible, but I'm literally in the girls' bathroom, like stuffing toilet paper, just like trying to dry things up. It was so embarrassing. And then I went back and it was just so awkward. I literally was like avoiding him, like, just don't touch me. Like, and it was just sad because he was so hot, but that's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me.
And that's such like a thing that's like not even like in your control too, which sucks.
Yeah. It's the worst timing when people, girls especially, get that time of the month, like in class or on a date, and you're like, help.
Okay. So you are from California originally, but you lived in Tennessee. So, and you just moved to Miami. So what made you move from California to Tennessee?
So originally, born and raised Bay Area. And then I went down to LA for college. Like I said, left college. And then I was in LA for like 7 years, but basically once the pandemic hit, LA was like hit really, really hard. So it shut down. And I mean, like my roommates and I lived with like two other girls. We were like best friends, like so much fun. We couldn't even like go literally outside without possibly getting a ticket. Like we would get like, it was crazy. And so I'm like, this is just not good. I don't like, this city is just not going in a good direction. It just messed with like red carpet events, movie premieres, that just shut down. And I'm like, yeah. And I think being in any city for 7 years, it's kind of like, I just felt like a chapter is coming to a close. So I remember July of like, was it, what would be like July of 2021, I went to Nashville for 4th of July to visit some friends and celebrate there. And like, I had never been, I fell in love with Nashville, like the country, the hot guys, like so different from LA. Like,
yeah. Oh,
100%. In LA, I was like single all the time, like could never find a guy. I'm like, I'm so over these like, you know, just, I'm like, I need a manly country guy. Like my personality, I can't do an LA guy, like no offense, but I'm like, hey, over this, I need a Southern like grounded cowboy to like live on a ranch with or something. And so I was like, went to Nashville for the 4th of July. And then, you know, I just fell in love and I'm like, I want to move here. Like that sounds crazy. But my friends are like, do it. It's so open here. The mask mandate, there's like really not a lot of rules. And it's just chill and it's awesome. And it's such a fun city. Like if you've ever been,
I've been,
oh my gosh. I mean the downtown Broadway, it has the best of both worlds. Mm. So I literally moved, like I just kind of picked up everything and I moved and it was the best choice I ever made. I was so nervous. Like I remember on the flight from LA to Nashville, I was like second guessing. I'm like, I was like biting my nails and I'm like, is this the right choice? Like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, I mean, I had plans for my job. But I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, I only know a few people. I was just dreading everything. And then, it's so cool. Cause I remember being on that plane and like, it was, what airline was it? Like JetBlue or something. So you've movies. And then this like documentary came on and I'm like, oh, what movie is this? And it was like Garth Brooks, the country singer. It was a really, really cool documentary about his whole journey of like starting from really humble beginnings to, and I don't know why, but I just feel like that was a weird sign. Like I was literally like, oh my God, I should take a flight back home. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm over, like, I did whatever, second guessing everything. And then I just saw this movie and I'm like, wait, this is like, yeah, like validation that like I made the right choice. Cause in the movie it shows like, you know, Garth is literally, you know, trying. And then he's like, regret. It's just so cool. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Garth Brooks. Like, I didn't know his story. So inspiring. But so yeah, I saw that and I'm like, for sure, I'm making the right choice. And then I got to Nashville, was there for kind of a short time, like 8 or 9 months, maybe. And then I did a lot of like red carpet interviews, a lot of content stuff there. And then I was like single. And then July of the next year, I got an opportunity to co-host the Sports Illustrated red carpet for Miami Swim Week, which is like
awesome. That's so fun. Yeah. It's when I was in college, I went to a college in Boca, but I minored in fashion. So we used to go down to, well, we used to go to Palm Beach for some of the shows and then we would go to Miami for some of the shows, but we always worked the swim events and they were always, oh my God, Swim Week was always so fun in Miami. It's the best time. It's the best.
I'm like, how have I never gone here? Like so cool. I mean, it was like, you know, bikinis, like neon, just like so Miami. And I'm like, this is insane. And I went to so many after parties and it was like so fun. So the Sports Illustrated show, it really changed my life. And I feel like that had been on my vision board for years. It was so full circle. And then, I just, in that moment at that party, I'm like, I kind of want to move here. Like, you know, maybe I'm moving again. Cause same thing where, you know, it's like, I'm young, single. I make my own money. My career, I can kind of work from wherever. So I'm like, why not? And then I just moved here on a whim, in August of last year. And yeah, I've been here ever since. And I love it.
Okay. So do you think, I feel like what you were saying about like LA guys, I feel like that's very appropriate for Miami guys too, or South Florida guys. Do you find that compared to like Nashville guys? Cause I feel like it's probably very similar.
100%. Yeah. I would say like my first month here and like me by nature, I'm like, so, you know, like just super like bubbly and like calm and polite. And my first month here, I mean, there was just like these like macho sugar daddy, you know, like Latin Cuban guys that are like kind of aggressive, like, you know, just very a certain type of personality. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is intense. Like these guys are like, you know, I don't know. And I felt so intimidated and I'm like, this is not like Nashville guys or LA guys. Yeah. But I mean, I understand the connection between like, yeah, the city and LA and Miami, but
yeah, I feel like LA and Miami are very, cause it's like, you have so many people that always come to these areas. It's like very transient. So you have so many people that kind of like live on vacation mode too. So it's like, I feel like the dating pool is always very different than like Southern guys. Like Southern guys, I feel like they take dating way more seriously.
It is like Miami. It's just, it's like, you know, people just come here. It's like, you know, kind of like party vibes. It's like a Vegas, but you know, it's like, it's tropical. And I don't know. It's like people, like my dating experience, like when I first moved here, yeah, it's just a bunch of like the sugar daddy guys would just come up to me like in the grocery store and they're like so aggressive. And these like, they look like characters, you know, like these like velvet Adidas tracksuits. And they're just like 6'5". And they like, you're like, what is that? Like, you're like, is that person like real? And it's just kind of scary. And then, you know, like when I first moved here, yeah, I would go out to all the clubs, like 11, Live, Story, Space. And those are so fun. Mm-hmm. They just feel, yeah, like another world. Like there's girls hanging from the ceiling and like these girls on poles. And I'm like, whoa, like this is not, yeah, it's so cool. And so, yeah, I was like single. And then I did meet a guy and that was fun, but.
You met him here or in Miami?
I met him in Miami. Yeah. Okay. So that was like interesting. And that's like a whole other, I don't even know. He like, I learned so much from him. And that was like the only, like that ended like Christmas time, but that was like 8 weeks, I think, of like dating. And I don't know, he was like this young guy, like just living his life straight out of college. And we had fun and stuff, but he was like, I don't know, something like rubbed me the wrong way. And like my mom, like helped me do this like psychic kind of reading after, cause I was like sad about the breakup. And then she's like, oh, I want to book you like a session with the psychic. And I talked with the psychic and he's like, oh my God, this guy, like he just roasted him and ripped him a new one. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like honestly, well, okay. So do you normally date like older or younger?
Okay. So I would say I typically do date younger, but I feel like I'm trying to go for older. I tell myself that. I'm like, we want a mature guy. Like we want, you know, a healthy guy that's older, that's has more life experience and stuff. But I typically am attracted, yeah, to younger guys.
Yeah. I think if you're, it's a fine line down here. Cause there's a lot of guys who are older. Cause like my therapist is always like, why are you dating all the, like the really young guys? And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm a cougar. So I like the young guys, like they're fun. But also like the older guys that I have dated, some of them are just, they literally think that they're still in college. And I'm like, I'm not entertaining them because yeah. I'm like, if I'm dating someone that's in their 30s or 40s and they're still like, oh, I'm not ready to settle down. If you're not like, I'm like, then I'm not entertaining it with that age difference. You know, I was like, I'd rather like not settle down with someone who's like fun to go out with than a guy yeah. that just wants to sit at his house, but like not commit to me.
Yeah, no, that's like you said, therapy. Like that's something I've learned too. Like I really do think that like, when we date, a huge part of it is like kind of our subconscious, a lot of like patterns and attachment styles and childhood things. And so for me, it's like, you know, for a while I was like in this phase where, and I mean like for a while, like it ended like 3 months ago, cause my therapist and I just like had a breakthrough and I'm like, wait, you know, I actually like do want to find at least a more mature guy, maybe not a guy that's like 35 cause I'm 26, but you know, it's like, I realized I'm like, you know, I have like morals and values that I'm just not going to negotiate anymore. Like I really do, you know, after that breakup, I was like so hurt and I'm like, okay, this could be a teaching moment where maybe, you know, I don't want to go through that pain again with like a young guy who's kind of like emotionally, you know, just immature and they're just right. like, whatever, living their life. It's not being mean, but it's just the truth. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I definitely want to be with a guy that like just knows what he wants and doesn't just say it, but he actually like walks the walk and literally, you know, isn't a place where he's looking to commit to only one girl. And so that's a big stepping stone for me. Cause if like my dating past, I mean, just to be honest, it's like, I've kind of gone for like the guys that are just like, you know, oh, I want to help and fix and save. And I'm like, oh, girl, don't do like this. Like, I don't do that. Like
one of my friends calls me Khloe Kardashian. Cause I'm always trying to fix the guys that I'm dating. Like, I'm not even joking you. I'm like, yeah. Here I am, Olivia Pope, trying to fix all these fuckers that I date. Like, I'm like, that's literally, I do it all. I've gotten better about it, but I like started on a really bad path. And then I was like, oh, that always made me feel good about like helping people and giving advice and trying yes, to make yeah, people like yeah. shine. And I was like, this is not, I got to stop doing that. So yeah, it's, I get it.
No, it's a really like weird thing in our, I don't even know. Yeah. Like our subconscious or something in there. And I think as women too, like we often feel some sense of like being satisfied when we know we can fix and help. And like, you know, that nurturing part yep. of a female, it's like, you know, we really have good intentions, but it's like my therapist just would say it to me, basically, you know, Megan, like in a relationship, that's about like, you know, love and compatibility. It's not like, you know, you're their therapist and they're your client. Like that's not going to make you happy. Yep. But, you know, like, yeah, in my therapy, I've done a lot of deep work of understanding, like, you know, kind of this thing called trauma bond, where it's like my, you know, first experience when I was really, really young, I like was 16 and I dated this guy that had a lot of like issues, a lot of childhood trauma, a lot of baggage. And I was like attracted to that, but I didn't know why. And I felt really guilty. And I'm like, oh, so something's wrong with me. Cause you know, none of my friends are dating guys that are like literally so messed up. Like, you know, I'm like, what's wrong? And so I had to do, yeah, just a lot of uncomfortable therapy sessions over the past like 8-9 years of just really understanding like where that comes from.
Because it's never just one thing either too. It's a multitude of things. So it's like, you really have to figure out the whole path of like what got you to where you are.
Yes. And I think a lot of people like, you know, want to be like, oh, well that's just daddy issues, but it's really not, because I have a great dad and I have a great relationship with him. And he was around for my whole entire childhood. You know, he was like the soccer coach for, like, he did everything. Same with my mom. I don't come from a broken family. So right. for me, it was honoring that, like, this is a me thing. Mm-hmm. It's not anyone else. It's me, you know, being an empath and wanting to, yeah, help and heal these people. But It's like, I kind of use this like analogy metaphor where it's like, imagine a burning candle. And you know, it's like, you put your finger in the flame and you're like, ow, that hurts. So to me, it's like, you know, the first guy that I dated, it's like, ow, that hurts. You know, 2 years goes by, I maybe forget how much it hurts. And then I do it again. And I'm like, ooh, that hurts still. But then, you know, you keep on doing it. And then you reach a point where you're like, wait, this is actually hurting me. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. And so I reached that point this time around where I was like, you know, I'm literally dating the same exact guy over and over again, but hoping to get different results. And that's what the definition of like insanity is, where you're just, you know, it's like a different guy. They may be taller, shorter, but it's the same type of guy though. They came from this, all of them come from the same type of family. So right. I'm like, yeah, I really need to change something because I don't want that type of guy anymore. I've outgrown that part of me. And like, so that was a really like, that's what I'm working on right now is really, you know, besides being in Miami, of course, there's a lot of like guys out there that just want to party and do stuff. But for me, like on personal growth, it's like, I'm really trying to understand, you know, honoring myself, acknowledging when those feelings come up of like feeding that addictive part of me that wants that bad boy or whatever it is that just needs that. That feeling still happens, but I just kind of like sit and feel it and journal about it. And then it will go away within like 2 hours. So it's a weird thing, but we all, you know, we all have healing to do on some level. So.
Oh, 100%. And I think too, with like part of, I've had this conversation with my therapist about kind of like noticing feelings. So she asked me one time, she was like, if you could put like, I deal with anxiety. So she was like, if you could dial your anxiety, like completely turn it off, would you? And I said, no, because I was like, realistically, I like that I have anxiety because it teaches me, like, it's taught me to really understand what's making me feel that way. And then I have to sit there and question why, you know? And she was like, most of my patients would say they want to turn off their anxiety. And I'm like, to me, it's a gauge. Like, if I'm not feeling anxious, then I know things are right and how they're supposed to be. But it like, if I'm dating a guy and I'm starting to feel anxious with them, I'm like, okay, why am I feeling anxious? I use it kind of as a gauge of like, all right, I got to get out of this, or I got to, you know, address something.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with everything that you just said, because I feel the same way. My whole life, you know, I've looked at my anxiety. I mean, you know, as like this blessing, it's like, how lucky am I that, I have this gauge of like kind of knowing when things are off and stuff. And I will say, like, this past guy in Miami that I dated, like, I will never forget. And, you know, this is something else, like intuition and stuff. Like each time, like, you know, clockwork, when he would come over to my apartment, I can't even explain the feeling that I felt in my body. Like when I knew he was on his way over, I felt like my stomach was dropping, like on an elevator. And the moment he came in my apartment, I all of a sudden would feel so unsafe. Like, I don't even understand how to, but like, I think women have such strong intuitions, and like, we often want to shut it down, you know, oh, not until there's evidence, but you know, oh, I'm just being a girl. And you know, I'm just worried that he's going to treat me like my ex. It's like, no, that feeling, trust it every single time, because I would feel like, so unsafe and like just very uncomfortable being alone with him. And it was really weird. And I was like, oh no, I'm just butterflies. I'm just nervous that, I'm like, he's going to kiss me or something. And I'm like, no, like, it's just looking back. I'm like, you got to trust that feeling. Like anytime it comes up, do not try to like dismiss it.
100%. And I agree with that, because I have definitely done that with guys, or had the same type of feelings with guys before. And I'm like, I can't pinpoint what it is. Like, I'm going to keep going down this path because I'm like, I can't, like, I don't have the evidence and I don't pinpoint it. But then all of a sudden something will happen and I'm like, you know what? I'm out. Like, this is it. And then I find out shit later and I'm like, thank fucking God I got out when I did, or I always had it in the back of my head at least, you know, because I've been hurt so bad in the past. Like now I'm like, nothing really can faze me at this point, but it's like, so, but now I keep these feelings and these like thoughts in the back of my head and I'm like, okay, like I just have to be on high alert. And then it's, most of the time it's true. Or there's something that like, I find out, like even sometimes years from when it happened and I'm like, oh my God, my feeling was right. So gut instincts are absolutely accurate.
But so get this though. So like, how I felt. I mean, this will just show like you how powerful my, like the intuition is. So like those moments, you know, when he would come over and I would feel so unsafe, even though he never did anything weird. I just had this like in my body, like ew, unsafe, like don't be alone with him, like creepy. And it was really, really weird. And so I would be like, let's go out, you know, let's go out to be in public. And so when I had this, you know, like weeks later after we broke up, things ended, my mom got me the session with the psychic. And like, that psychic literally validated, I didn't say anything, but that psychic validated that feeling like was real, because I won't go too into it, but he was basically like, you know, this guy, like just certain things. I'm like, oh my God, he totally hit the nail on the head. He's like, that was like, you know, as a person, we all have an intuition. That's often like, you know, if you believe in it, like our spirit guides trying to like warn us and guide us in the right direction. And so energetically, you can be picking up on someone's intentions or their vibe. And then if you like, you don't click with it. Something in you is like, this feels off. I don't like their intention. Something like about them is just weird to me. It's rubbing me the wrong way. And then I kept on shutting it down, but he's like, no, this guy, you know, not good for you. Like So that was crazy.
I had a similar experience. A good friend of mine from college, she was from Peru originally. So she had a psychic in Peru, and unfortunately I don't speak Spanish, so she would have to translate for me, but she had validated, at the time I was on and off with my long-term ex of like 10 years, and she had validated, it's very similar thing. She had hit all his addiction issues, his mental health issues. And this woman didn't know me from anything. She had no information about me, and she had picked up on everything. And my friend knew like some of the stuff, but not like specific details. Cause she would ask me things, and I was like she would just see my face, like as she would translate it. And I'm like, how the fuck did she know that? But like, I was like, all right, this is just validating everything that I've been thinking or feeling or thought that I knew, or that he told me I was lying about, or, you know, whatever the case was. But yeah, when you have that validation, it's really nice.
Oh my God. No, like that, the psychic that I was talking to, like, I mean, he was like, immediately he's like, there's stuff. Yeah. Like psychologically and psychically, he's like, I don't like it. He's like, I am feeling physically the unsafe, uncomfortable, like, ew, like get me away. Yeah. And he's like, he didn't get too specific either, but he's just like, I'm not that worried, but I know exactly what you were picking up on. And he's like, that should show you, like, you yourself, Megan, have a really strong intuition, and like, you know, trust that feeling. Like, even if it feels weird, it's like, that's on purpose. It's never an accident. It's never you being a woman, or, you know, it's your time of the month. No, it's like a real thing.
Yeah, no, 100%. There's people who just automatically go into dates with like this bad and negative attitude. And I'm like, okay, like you have to, like, if your intuition's not telling you, like, and you're just saying that because that's what people say, like maybe you should be dating, you know?
But like, I really do think that, you know, there definitely is a difference between, you know, I remember like when I first started dating this guy, I kept on literally being like, is it just me? You know, am I being paranoid that, cause the guy that I previously dated, before him kind of, you know, like was just like a fuck boy kind of, you know, whatever, just like didn't really text me back, was young, you know, similar kind of like wishy-washy.
Yeah.
So me, I'm like, oh no, you know, I'm just worried that he's going to treat me like my ex. Like it's me being paranoid. You know, I'm, in a fear-based mindset. Like I kind of was doing that to myself, but then
it's very easy to get into that too. And that was, you're verbalizing better than what I was just trying to explain. It's very easy to get into that like panic of like, oh my God, one time I was dating this guy and he has sent someone to rob my apartment. This was years ago. And they stole like $10,000 worth of my stuff. Like all my like jewelry, my laptop, my like Louis Vuitton bags and luggage, like all kinds of things. So after, between seeing him and, you know, then getting back into the dating world, I was constantly like, oh my God, every guy's going to rob my, or send someone to rob my apartment or whatever. So it's like, it's very easy to get into that fear-based stuff, even though my intuition was telling me that the guys that I was dating after that weren't going to do it. Like I wasn't like, I didn't have an unsettling feeling, but it was just in my head of like, oh my gosh, I'm like making myself crazy, you know?
Yeah. That's, I'm so sorry that happened to you. That's, crazy.
Yes. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. The guy had stayed at my house the night before and he had unlocked one of my windows that I didn't know about. And he knew I was going to work the next day. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, my the window was open, the door was open and whatever, it was a whole thing, but yeah, it was crazy. So,
oh my gosh, people are crazy.
Yeah. Like, horrible, horrible people.
I know I just can't morally, I couldn't even understand the mentality behind doing something like that. And that's I'm like, what? But, And I think I definitely went down that path. You know, I was literally Googling. I'm like, you know, what does it mean to be worried about your ex and you're all paranoid and you're thinking this isn't my gut. This is just me being projecting my fear from the past onto this new guy. But I'm but I wouldn't have these moments of I literally felt God was coming down and this guy is unsafe. I'm I wouldn't have those feelings.
Right. If
it was just, me being afraid of being hurt by a guy again, I'm this is definitely my intuition. Something is just off. And, I don't know. There's just now looking back, I'm such a shit show, but I'm this guy, to me, okay. Do you agree? Cause me and my girlfriends go back and forth on this. Do you think it's a red flag if you're seeing someone, cause this happened to me with that guy, but I'm going to put you in the situation. Seeing someone for weeks and you've been on four or five dates, they've been to your apartment. Do you think it's weird if a guy never shows you their apartment?
So I'm going to say no, just because I'm 34 and I date so much younger that all the guys that I date have roommates or they live at home with their parents. So in a lot of cases, it never gets to the point where I'm meeting the friends, the friends know about me in some cases, but it's never the introduction and the meshing of the friends. So I don't typically go to guys' houses or ask, just because this guy that I'm kind of seeing now, he just moved back in with his parents. So I'm not trying to go over there, but if he was living by himself and I was living by myself, I would think that's weird. So
yeah,
for me, I like to cook and bake and all that kind of stuff. So I'm more I'm very matronly in that way of oh, come over, I'll cook for you. And I'll make us dinner. Okay. So for me, that's a normal thing that I would suggest. But if I was dating someone for a while and I didn't see their place at least once, I would think it would maybe kind of be a little I don't know.
That's what I felt I invited him over all the time. And I'm I love my apartment.
Did he have roommates or no?
Okay. So from what he told me, yes, but I never saw them because I never went to his apartment. Because he kept on saying, I just moved in. It's still getting furnished. I don't want to, have you over and stuff. I'm cool. But at the time, mine was still coming together too. I was still putting my bed together and my couch and everything. He just would never invite me over. But it's weird because I met his siblings and I met some of his family. And then I never went to his apartment. So I'm what's going on?
Yeah, that's weird. Well, especially to me, I feel like you would see his apartment before you would meet his family. I've never met any, minus the guy that I dated long-term. I still see his parents in town cause they live down the road from me. So I run into them sometimes, but yeah, I don't know. Everyone's everyone has whatever weird things. Maybe he just doesn't like people in his space or or he's self-conscious about something. Maybe he has a weird collection of dorky things or something.
Imagine he has a whole comic or stuffed animals or something.
Yeah. Something dolls, clowns or something.
Yeah. Or he's a really creepy fetish or something. Oh my God.
You might, you never, I mean, some people do if he has roommates though, I feel maybe that wouldn't be out and about, but it could be anything, it's, you're broken up with him now, so I'll say it, but maybe he also was dating other people and had a girl, cause I've heard of cases like that where people are no, I'm single, but they have a whole ass girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. And they're living with them. So if his roommate could have been a significant other potentially, cause that's very South Florida.
How embarrassing. I mean, see, my personality, I would never want to know that. Cause I would go batshit crazy, even though we're not together right now.
Yeah.
I would fucking like find him and like hit his car with a bat because he didn't have one. But no, I mean, I don't even know. It's just so weird to look back on because I felt like Inspector Gadget for a while. Cause you know, I'm like it ended it like so quickly. It ended quickly. And then there was like, I was so sad, like crying. Yeah. And then now I'm in a place where it's been like 6 months, it's been a long time. So I'm fine. I'm over it. But there's moments where I'm just like, you know, I'll find myself, yeah, like sipping a Celsius or a mocktail because I don't drink alcohol. And I'm just like trying to put the pieces together. And I've asked like all my friends their opinion, all my family. And a lot of them say the same thing where they were like, something just doesn't add up. Right. Like something just feels like shady, like weird, like sketchy. And
yeah,
I don't know, like he's a good guy. So I don't want to like rip on him, but like, you know, I knew so little about him. Like,
right.
It's, I don't know. It's just weird to me. And
no, like, I went on a date with this guy one time. Well, it was more than a date. We went on a couple dates and he was like literally everything. Like he checked off every box and I was like, oh wow. Like this is like, he's great. I had felt nothing for him. Cause I was like, all he's doing is asking me questions about me. He like, I would try to like, you know, ask questions back, but he would just like, you know, skirt around them. And I'm like, I know nothing about this guy. Like, I can't keep going down this path. Like, if I don't know anything about the person I'm seeing, like, that's definitely weird, you know?
Yeah. Like it is weird. And I don't even know. Like, it's just weird. Yeah. It's still weird to me that like I remember when I met his siblings, like they knew who I was. Like, they were like, Megan, I'm like, what? Like, yeah, like we've only been together for like, I mean, you know, together, but like not official, just like dating. For like 4 or 5 weeks. And they're like, Megan, what's up? And I'm like,
hi, who are you?
That's a big step, in my opinion, to meet someone's family. Like that's.
Yeah. We'll see. Okay. So I just talked about this in my last podcast. So it was funny because the guy that set me into therapy, we were kind of like hot and heavy for 2 months and he gaslit me and I read it too much into everything. So it was partially my own fault. Like he has to take accountability for his shit, but I definitely like was not mentally well, like with dating and all that stuff. Yeah. So that was definitely, you know, partially my fault, but he like his mom knew about me and, you know, just all this kind of stuff. Like she would be like, oh, tell Stephanie, I said, hey, like all this stuff. And I had to realize after, like, once I started my therapy journey and was over him and everything, like for me, I don't tell my parents about anyone that I date. They still don't even know really about my ex-boyfriend that I was on and off with for 10 years. Like they never met him. I think they know, but it was never just because he had so many issues and I was in so deep and I was like, I'm not going to hear the lecture from my parents. So I just kind of like never addressed it. And they've really never met anyone else that I've dated because I don't date guys for that long. Like I never really get to a point where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to like bring you home. But what I realized was this guy, he would tell his mom about everyone unbeknownst to me. So to me, in my head, I was like, oh, this is a huge deal. His mom knows about me. He's changing his schedule for me. Like we're hanging out all the time. It's like, great, whatever. He does that with everyone, you know, like that's just, he just has a really close relationship with his mom. So I think it's all kind of relative. Like when you put things in perspective, like, cause I was putting so much value on certain things that I'm like, oh wow, this is a big deal because this would have been a big deal for me to tell my parents about him, you know? Yeah. And realistically his mom has heard about, like, I think he's had like 4 girlfriends since I've stopped seeing him like 2 years ago. So like, that's just their relationship though. So I think sometimes we look at the weight of things a little bit more important than they might be in reality too.
I know, like, that's just, yeah, I think like, I mean, I can say for myself, like I, you know, am the most like emotional sensitive person ever. And so for me, like, I remember towards the end of this relationship, cause like, I felt like meeting his siblings was such a, you know, that's like, that's never happened in my dating life. Like I am kind of like a one hit wonder. Like I go all in with someone. I'm not like friends with benefit. No, I'm like, it's black and white. I'm either single or with just you, like ride or die.
Yeah.
And so I was like head over heels for this guy. And then I met his siblings and I'm like, oh my God. And then
I thought the same thing though. Honestly, if I was meeting someone's like parents or siblings, I would be like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is,
I'm like, let me write my wedding vows now. Like we're in it. This is the real deal. And then I remember after that, I just like could see him start to pull away. And I was like, I literally was like, no, this is happening again. Cause in Nashville, like right before this, kind of the same thing happened where I had gotten really invested with a guy and he was just like not wanting to like commit and kind of just be loosey goosey. And then that guy like crushed me. Like I had to go to therapy. I was like, so in a bad place. And so with this guy, I was like, this is happening again. I was like, oh my God, I can't handle this. And then we had a conversation and he was like, you know, he was really nice about it. Like he was very honest, but I just was crushed. I was so bummed out. I literally called my mom and she had to like calm me down out of like a full blown panic attack. I was like, Mom, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Call 911. She's like, Megan, I'm across the country. But she's like, calm the fuck down. Like you're fine. You've gotten through this before. You can do it again. Like you did. She's like, you did. My mom's just like super, I don't know. She's really like supportive. She's like, you did everything right. Like it's just this guy. Like, she's like, you deserve better. Like it's okay. And she's always like, just really, yeah, like warm and stuff. And so
my mom's the same way. I called her about this one guy one time and I was like, oh my God, he's never going to talk to me again. I was too drunk. Like, and whatever. Yeah, yeah. I was like, you get drunk when you drink, like big fucking, like she, my mom threw up on my dad's shoes when on their first date. And she was like, a guy's going to tolerate your drinking and like partying and whatever.
Exactly. And like, I think if it's just meant to be, you know, it works out. And I don't know, I think things also happen for a reason. So 100%. After, you know, now that I'm in this place where I'm like a lot less emotionally attached and stuff, I'm like, you know, I'll often journal and I'm like, you know, why do I feel like that happened? Like we met for a reason, like a bigger purpose. And I'm like, you know, what did it teach me or what did I learn from it? And I really do think it's just like to, you know, to not like settle even when, you know, you see no other guys on the horizon and you're just, you know, super single. It's like, no matter what comes along, trust your gut feeling, even if it seems really tiny and you're like, yeah, it's not a red flag. It probably is, but also, you know, yeah, don't settle. Know your worth. Like I just wish if I could go back in time, I would have just like fucking been like, you know, chase after me, bitch. Like, yeah. I really wish that I would have just like made him work so much harder just to get my attention. I feel like in relationships, I tend to like go after the guy and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that because I feel like that attracts the wrong guys. I feel like I want a guy to chase me and to like be a, like in my eyes, you know, like a man. And I'm just like, girl, that, oh, like you want to be with me, then woo me. So,
right. No, you know what? And it's honestly, it's, you know, now that you're kind of going through these things, I feel like I definitely, when I was in my 20s, like, not that I'm that much older than you, but like when I was in my 20s, I was still kind of like figuring shit out. I wasn't in therapy yet. I didn't start therapy until my 30s. But yeah. I definitely was the girl who would always text a guy first. Like, I didn't care if I'm thinking about someone, I'm going to text them. Like, it's just, that's just me. And I was the same way where I wouldn't date around. I was like, nope, I like this person. I'm going to date them. I'm going to spend, you know, put the energy into this and nurture this, whatever this situationship or relationship or whatever it was called was. And I found that it really kind of got me nowhere just because dating, especially I've been in South Florida for like 15, 16 years now. So I feel like the dating game is like, it's just different down here. Everyone is on vacation mode and everyone kind of dates around and no one really takes anything seriously. So when I kind of came to terms with all of that, I was like, all right, I'm not going to sit there and put all my eggs in one basket because when I was doing that, it was hurting me because I'm like, all right, I'm getting devastated because all my time and energy is spent texting, seeing, talking to this person, nurturing something that's not going to essentially come, you know, come to fruition. And so now in my 30s, that's why I think I kind of especially like going for the younger guys. Cause I'm like, they're kind of doing their thing. I'm doing my thing. And, you know, I'm just like letting things flow a little bit more, but I feel like the dating like one person at a time, like I get why you do it, but it's like, you almost have to kind of like create a sense of urgency with some of these guys, I feel like. And like, it's annoying because it's really hard to get to know people when you're dating multiple people at the same time, but it's like, they also need to know that you have options too. Like, I feel like that's kind of like my mindset now of like, of the, you have to fight for me and fight for my time and attention and that kind of stuff. Cause I am busy and I have a lot of prospects, you know?
Oh, that's like, see, that is so hard for me to do. Cause that's not me by nature. Like my friend gave me this book. She's like, oh my God, you need to like flip your mindset, not be so masculine and be in your feminine. And I'm like,
It's hard. It's hard.
Me by nature, I'm like the hyper tomboy, like, you know, let's just go freaking, you know, do cartwheels down the, like, I'm just, that's me though. So it's literally like, I don't know how to be a bitch and to sit in my fucking feminine and to be like, oh, I'm like, yeah, if I think about someone, I'm texting them in 5 seconds. Like I cannot do the like, you know, I'm just going to like sit and, you know, yeah, they can reach out to me. That's not me. Like,
No, I get it. It's really, really hard. It's taken me a really long time because I'm just like, to me, I was always settling for guys, or I was like, oh no, like if I show a guy that I'm only, you know, kind of like devoted to them, I'm like, I only want to nurture something with them and not dating around, then they'll like me more. And it's like, realistically, like, just because they're not telling you that they're dating around, they're probably entertaining a lot of other people. Like with the way social media is and dating apps are, it's like, you see how many people are out there and available, especially in this area when you have so many people. Like with spring break, oh my God, my phone with the college guys, I was like, give me a break. I can't keep up with all of it, you know? Oh, so it's like, everyone has options, but I think not that you have to go out there and have a new date every day, but it's like, you should definitely entertain people if you have the opportunity, which I'm sure you do.
It's just, I hear what you're saying, but it's so funny because it's weird because this is something I've learned in therapy and also just, watching YouTube videos myself about like love language, attachment styles, you know, like, rewiring my subconscious, all my negative beliefs and stories and stuff. Like, I don't know why, and I'm not saying it's something bad about me, but like, you know, I know I'm 26, but on the inside, I feel like I'm such an old soul. Like I love going out. It's Miami. It's fun. But like, all I want, the only stuff that makes me happy in life, being honest, is like cuddling on the couch with someone. Like, all I want is just like marriage and kids. And like, I'm so old school like that. Like, nothing would make me happier than like baking cookies. Like, I'm like a grandma on the inside. I really am. Like, I don't know. It's like, when I meet, like I could meet, you know, 15 guys like on a dating show. Mm-hmm. I would find one and just like zero in on them. And I just block out everything else. And I'm like, it's only this guy, like putting all my eggs in one basket, but I'm so aware of it. Like, I know what I do.
I was the same way. I get it. I totally get it. I was exactly the same way. Cause I'm like, you can't do this. Then I would just keep doing it.
Yeah. It's like, I'm so aware of it. And I know it's not the worst thing in the world, but you know, it's like, I don't know. I think like but I will say this, it's like, I'm not, you know, one of those girls who's like, oh my God, like, I'm so bad for thinking that. Like, you know, I know that one day I do want marriage and kids. And I know, like, I am young and have a lot of good things going for me, career, and I should have fun. It's Miami. I should be single and do all these things. But I also really like honor the part of me that really wants like a committed guy. And like, I'm not afraid to say that because I've said it, you know. And sometimes people online, they're like, oh my God, you're young, go live out your 20s. I'm like, I get that. But I also already have, like, I was in LA for like 7 years and I did the thing and I was in Nashville and it is fun here. But yeah, it's like, at the end of the day, I just want a guy that has the same morals and values that I do. Like, they want commitment. They want communication. They want honesty. That's like what I am searching for. And like, I'm just super set like in what I believe. And I just don't think that will ever change. Like
you shouldn't change that though. I mean, but you know what, honestly, I was just having this conversation with someone not too long ago about like societal pressures of like, you have to do this by a certain age or that. Like for me, like a lot of my friends don't get the whole Cooper thing. They don't get why I date guys in college. And for me, I'm not looking for anything super serious right now. Like, I don't want kids and marriage. I'm like, whatever. Like, I could be Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, like just forever kind of, you know, vibing together. I'm easy and like go with the flow. And like, of course, like I'm not saying I've never thought about having kids or marriage and those type of things. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, all right, this is stuff that I'm just like, it's not fitting in the lifestyle that I have. And it's not something that I want, which is fine. But I think people get so caught up in like, well, you have to do this, or you should do this, or I did this, so you have to do that. And it's just like, fuck off. Like, everyone has their own journey. Who cares? It's, you know, everyone's life is different. Everyone's interests are different, but as long as you're true to what you're looking for.
I know, seriously, like that's where I'm at. And it's like, I also agree with what you said though. It's like, I do think that society can really put so many pressures, especially on women. It's like, oh, you have a biological ticking clock. And, you know, I think there's just a lot of stigmas. Like, people could look at your lifestyle and be like, oh, you know, you should feel shame, or you should feel
all the time,
some type of way. But it's like, you know, to that person, I just think everyone should do whatever makes them feel good. I think to the people that, like, you know, judge and want to be like, you know, but why, and they want to shame you and try to lecture you, it's like, first of all, person, look at why you are being so triggered by what someone else is doing. You know, like, why does it bother you so much? I think it's like, it bothers you because you're jealous, they're doing something you wish you could do, or you're just angry and single and you just haven't gotten laid in like 2 fucking years.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. It's crazy. I mean, there's so many finger pointing and you should do this. And it's you have one life, you know, and it's like, just enjoy it the best you can. As long as it's like, you're, you know, in a healthy mindset and things are going the way that you want them to.
In therapy, like, my therapist also talks about, you know, there's two types of people on this earth. There are people that are like on autopilot, just kind of like, you know, sleepwalking. Like, they never take responsibility for their actions. They never admit when they're wrong. Like, they're just stuck in like their own, like, you know, that cartoon that's like a cyclone, wherever it goes, it just causes like fucking destruction. And then it just goes on to the next. Like, she's like, there are people, guys, you know, whatever out there that are just like that. Like, they'll never admit that they're wrong. They're never whatever. Those people have a lot of healing to do. But then she's like, there are people like you, Megan, or like you, Stephanie, where it's like, you're becoming more self-aware and you are really, you know, understanding of like, oh, you know, like, my words and my actions have this effect, or, oh, you know, like, this is where I'm at right now. Like, you actually pause and think about where you're at, how you can get to where you want to be. Like, you're actually, yeah, like, you take self-inquiry. And like, she's like, some people are actually like afraid to like stop and look themselves in the mirror and to like, because a lot of people don't want to look at really like what's inside or what they've done or like heal the childhood stuff. Like, a lot of people don't want to do that.
Oh, and even with dating too, it's like, the amount of, I always am talking on this podcast about therapy and what my therapist said and my journey. Yeah. And I literally said in the last episode, I was like, I know this is a broken record, but like, if you haven't started therapy, you should. I was even saying to my therapist, I was like, so many people just have this stigma and think that you can't start therapy unless you're completely depressed or suicidal or you have all these issues. And it's like, it's really not that.
I think a lot of people think like, oh no, you know, I had to have had some horrible trauma to go to therapy. No, therapy is good for anyone and everyone. Like, I also am a believer, don't belittle your trauma. Like, some people have been through more than others. So everyone deserves to have a healthy outlet. And I think therapy, like, literally just saying how you feel to someone that you trust, it's unbiased. You know, it's not like your mom or someone that like loves you and family. Right. They don't know really who you, I mean, kind of whatever, but it's like, you can just take it all off your shoulders. You can just vent, say anything. They do not judge. It's a safe place, but then they give you really, really helpful, like, feedback. That's not critical, but it's like a healthy balance of, you know, what's going to make you happiest and what's really good for your mental health. And like, when I saw a therapist about this past guy, she was like, she's just like, I don't think like he's really good for you. Like, he, you know, the way that he communicates with you, you know, he takes hours, sometimes days to respond. And that's like not helping you feel better. Like, that makes you anxious and you start to be like, what is he doing? What is he doing? That's like not a good sign. And so she really helped me kind of like call out my blind spots, you know, where I wasn't paying attention to things and stuff I was saying. She's like, would write it down. I just think it's helpful. It really is.
It really, yeah, it definitely is. It's, yeah, therapy. I cannot say how much I love it enough.
I know, it saved my life. I'm like every day, I'm like, just give me a Celsius, a therapy session, yeah, and I'm good. Like a blowout and I'm fine. So,
cause it's, you really, I mean, they do give you so many little random like tips that you're like, oh yeah, I didn't really like think of it that way. Or like, you know, they just like really put things in perspective. Like my therapist, one of the biggest things that she had told me, cause I kept saying like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I can't make any of these relationships work with these guys and whatever. And she's like, it's not about you. Like, she's like, you have to take yourself out of the equation. And I was like, what do you mean it's not about me? Like, I was like, excuse me. And she's like, no. Like, she's like, you're not doing necessarily anything wrong. You know, she was like, it's saying more about what the other person is dealing with or expecting or going through. She's like, it's not about you personally. She was like, it could be any girl that they're dating and they're going to do the same shit. She's like, it's on them. And I was like, when that little tidbit came out, I was like, oh, okay. Like now I'm starting to feel better about myself, because I literally was like, what's wrong with me? Like, I feel like a crazy person. Yeah. Like why can't I successfully date? But
it's, yeah, I feel the same way. Like my therapist literally said the same exact thing. She worded something and that just like hit home. You know, she was saying all this like nuggets of wisdom and I'm like, nothing's really like sinking and hitting for me. And then she's like, yeah, but Megan, the way you're explaining how this whole, you know, like 8 week long relationship panned out, she's like, you know, I know this is your side of the story. Everyone has two sides, but she's like, the way you're explaining it is like, you treated him really, really well. Like you were honest. You were upfront. He was too, but she's like, you have to like, let go and be like, you know, I did the best that I could as a recovering people pleaser. He treated you poorly, you know, and really kind of like threw you in the ringer and then wouldn't text you back for 5 days. And then you're crying, having panic. Like that's the truth.
Yeah.
So she's like, is that on him or on you? And I'm like, on him. And she's like, good. Okay. So, you know, she's like, when you're going through the breakup, she's like, remember, is it helpful for you to play the highlight reel? Like, oh yeah, but he was a good kisser in this one time when no, cause that's hurting you. Cause that's not helping you move on. Yep. What is helping you move on is remembering the actual reality of him, you know, not the fantasy version of like, oh my God, you know, in this past 5 months, I'm sure he has a six pack now. No, probably not. He's probably still, you know, messing around and just not treating girls. I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. Like to change who you are, it takes years in therapy. It's not overnight. And I think that's just helpful, you know, advice is just trying your best to remember like the reality of it. Like, well, the truth is, yeah, like, you know, there are certain great parts. Like he was a good kisser and his siblings were on and what certain awesome moments. But yeah, he, you know, that kind of hurt and that kind of hurt. Cause it actually helps your brain. It just, it, like, it may sound weird, but it really does help to remember like the reality of it rather than the highlight reel.
Oh, 100%. It's, you literally have to do like a pro and con list, like the old school, like pro and con list of like, these are the good qualities of this person and the good situations. And these are the bad, and the bad are 9 times out of 10 going to outweigh the good. Cause I used to do that with my ex. I would sit there and I'm like, oh, like he made me feel this way or, you know, whatever. You go through all of the good stuff to like, hold on, to hang on. There's too many people that stay in situations for way too long and it's easier said than done. I get it. Like, you know, I mean, I've been through it and that's why I held on for so long with my main ex, but it's just like, yeah, it's the highlight reel is never, it's never worth it really.
Right. And like something else, my therapist kind of like, I feel like we need to have like, you know, like a happy hour, like you and your therapist, me and my therapist. Yes. something my therapist said, she's like, you know, like, cause she's like, there's something called like the Rapunzel effect where it's like oftentimes in a breakup, at least I do this where I kind of catastrophize. It's where you think of like, you know, worst case scenario things when you're trying to move on. So oftentimes my brain would be like, oh, you know, while I'm crying, I bet he found some girl who's so, you know, hot and gorgeous and pretty and everything that I don't have. And, you know, he's riding off into the sunset and then I'm, you know, Rapunzel stuck in the castle.
Oh my God, I love that. Like, I just didn't like know that that was the name for it. That's amazing.
It's really, it's truly called the Rapunzel effect. And then it's like, basically my brain, you know, kind of says to myself, but then I'm the girl stuck in the castle, you know, who never finds love, who can never be rescued. Yeah. But my therapist is like, first of all, stop doing that to yourself because that's not true. She's like, the fact is there are many other guys who are also great kissers, who, you know, have a big family, like all of these qualities, you know, you will find other men that have similar things and that can make you feel as happy as he did. So stop putting all of, like, you know, your hope and everything into this one person, because, you know, I don't, it's just the way she words it. I'm like, holy shit. Like my mind was just blown. And I'm like, that is so true. Like it's, I don't know if it's a woman thing, but it's a me thing where I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm never going to find love again. I'm going to be single forever. And I'm blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, that's not true. Like reframing it, you'll notice that like you physically kind of start to feel better. Like you don't feel so sad. Like, right.
I think part of it has to do with, like, I was talking to my therapist about egos the other day. And I feel like part of it has to do with, like, it sucks when you're not the one that's picked. Like, it just sucks. Like, and I used to struggle with that so bad. And now I've completely switched. So I used to, if like a guy picked another girl over me, and, you know, I would be devastated. I would be like, oh my God, like, you know, same kind of thing. Like, I'm never going to find someone, whatever. And then if they came back, I would immediately take them back. Now the amount of guys that come back and I'm like, no, you got one shot. If you pick someone else over me, then you can go find them, or, you know, go have them. You can go find someone else. Like, you're not getting a second chance with me, because if I wasn't good enough the first time, I'm surely not going to be good enough this, you know, this time around. But I think part of the reason why that, like, we start to feel sorry for ourselves when things don't work out. And it's an ego thing. It's half the time I've realized it's not about the guy. It's not about the relationship or situationship, whatever you want to label it as. It's about the fact that I wasn't picked. And it was, well, why wasn't I good enough? Or why? And then it's like, then you're making it about yourself. And it's never about, like, it's the ego. You have to take the ego out of it, because it's really, sometimes you're just like not compatible with a person. Like when I think back on all the guys that I've cried about, I'm like, thank fucking God that they didn't work out, because they all are losers. Every one of them, every last one of them. And I'm like, why was I hysterically crying over these guys and like staying up at night and like putting all this pressure on myself? Like, fuck all of them. Like, I'm in a way better place than they are now, you know?
Oh my God, I'm like peeing my pants. No, it's so true. I'm sorry, but like, I'm like, girl, same thing. If I could go back 5 months ago, I would be like, honey, you're not missing out on anything. Like, take off the rose colored glasses. Like, this guy is not that hot. He's not that cool. All these things that you're pinpointing. And also, like, you know, it's like all these things that you're worshiping about him, like, oh my God, he's so this and so that. It's like, you know, don't you think that, like, you know, I don't know, like my therapist also, she's like such a badass. She's like, well, Megan, but like, what if he misses you? You know, what if he's crying about you? Like, stop making him this macho hero who's like,
on,
you know,
a pedestal,
this,
like,
yeah, banging a girl every night, like doesn't give a shit about you. It's like, she's like, what if he has moments where he's like, damn, I really miss Megan. And he thinks about reaching out to you, but then he's like, no, you know, I don't know. Like, you never know. But also it's like, you're a catch too. Remember that. Stop putting him on a pedestal. Like, they're not that great. I'm sorry. Like,
no, you're exactly right. It's just true.
I'm so over putting guys on pedestals. Like, oh my God, you know, I understand men and women think differently and they heal through breakups differently, but it's like, I'm sorry, but like, I'm the shit too. You're the shit too. Every girl listening, we're the shit. So we have like the golden goose, whatever they want.
Well, cause honestly too, I know I've realized like more recently, if I'm interested in a guy and I start to get kind of like head over heels, it's really just because they're giving me attention. Like if that's what it boils down to. I'm getting validation. I'm getting attention. It's not because I like them. It's not because I see a future with them. It's not because, yeah, okay, they're dicking me down and that's great. Whatever. I can do that with anyone, or I can use a vibrator. So whatever, but it's like, I'm getting the physical attention and the emotional attention of like, oh, this person's texting me or whatever. But it's like, so I think sometimes in a lot of cases too, for people, they just like the validation and the attention, you know? So it's, and which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, you can't sit there and say that it's love either. You know, where I used to be like, oh, I'm getting attention from this guy. I'm in love with this person. They're so great. They're doing all these things. And that's not really the case. Yeah. And it's hard too. I feel like there's a lot of guys, you'll notice it as you get back into, whenever you're ready to get back kind of into the dating world.
Oh, I've already been dating. It's amazing.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I'm already like dating. I'm on Bumble. I was in Austin, Texas. I went on like 6 dates there. Like, I've already been doing the thing. nothing serious, but like, man, am I having fun? And I agree, the same thing I did realize. I'm like, oh wait, it's just the fact that I hadn't gotten attention from a guy in so long. And then this one came along and it's, you know, like, oh my gosh, this guy, I haven't, you know, had a guy in my life. And then I Googled over him. But yeah, now that I have like multiple guys in my life right now, I'm like, cool.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice. It's good to have the options. Cause I think a lot of people too are like, oh, I don't like to like go on a million dates, which like, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But if you're chatty and like to go out and meet new people, I think it's great. Cause it's like, I always say it's like job interviewing. It's practice. It's like, you never know what little tidbits. I always try to look at the silver lining of things, even in bad situations. Like my therapist was like, oh, do you regret like dating the guy that, you know, put you into therapy? And I was like, no, because I started therapy because of him. So like, you know, that was the silver lining, you know? And it's like, I learned a lot since then. And it's like, I try to take that with every guy I hook up with or date or, you know, whatever. I always try to take some little something from them.
No, seriously. And like, same thing. I reframe it. I'm like, if this guy, you know, I mean, I was the one to end things. So I feel proud of myself because I really stuck to like, yeah, no, this isn't going to a relationship. But he, you know, I kind of gave him an ultimatum. Like I had a phone call with him and I'm like, after meeting his siblings, I'm like, hey, so I'm looking, I called him out because he had been so flaky. He promised to like help me put my furniture together, never showed up, like really mean. Yeah. And so basically I gave him a call and I'm like, hey, so my feelings are hurt because you haven't texted me back. And like, basically like, what the fuck is going on? I just met your fucking siblings. And like, he was so nonchalant. He's like, you know, honestly, he's like, I just right now, like I can't commit to like a relationship, my job. And I'm like, shut up, you fucking wiener. Like, shut the fuck up, you bitch. Like, I'm like, I live in this nice ass apartment. I have like 7 jobs and I could commit to anyone if they meant a lot to me. I would drop anything to be with the people that I love. Shut up, you little, I'm sorry, but it's just an excuse. I'm
like, whatever. No, it's true. It's true.
And so I remember though, I gave him an ultimatum and I'm like, you know, I'm looking for something more serious. Like, kind of like, are you in it? And he's like, he's like, I can't commit. I would be lying to you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, bye. And then things ended. And I'm like, I learned so much, but I'm like, you know, if he hadn't have like if I'm so grateful that things didn't work out because it motivated me, I literally got in the best shape ever. Like I literally snatched the fuck up. Cause I'm like, I want this guy to see me looking so hot. And like, I got a new hair. Like I actually did all those things after I cried for like a month. And then I feel so fucking good. And I'm like, I'm in the best body ever, like fully just a new friend group. Like I really did a lot of changing. And I'm like, I thank God it didn't work out. It motivated me. It sucked, but I am so glad it didn't work out.
Yeah. That's your silver lining. It's like, if there's a silver line, every bad breakup, there's always either a lesson or, and it sounds so cliche, but it's like, there's always a silver lining. There's always a reason why. And it sucks when you're in it, you feel like you're never going to like feel better. You feel like you're never going to get over it. You're never going to find someone else. And it's like, we all do. We always do, you know, we just move on. It's like, there's plenty of options, you know? But yeah, it definitely, it's tough when you're in the moment. You're like, oh God, like, is this ever, am I ever going to feel better about myself?
I know. I like called my grandma, I think like 2 days after it ended and I was like crying my eyes out and she's like 87, but she's still with it. And she's like, Megan, she's like, I promise you, you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. She's like, the sun will rise up again. She's like, I promise you will like be okay. So now I'm like, it's like a meme, you know, like when you're in it versus when you're out of it, I'm like bullet fucking dodged. I'm like, you know what? I'm in such a good place in my life. Like so many things are working out, happening for me in my favor. Like this amazing, beautiful apartment with this sick ass view, like all this work stuff, interviews, my new book, everything. I'm like, the universe is literally only going to remove things and people that are not serving what's bringing me joy, because it would make no other sense. I'm like, when it, like the right guy that's going to add value to my life and make my life better and actually motivate me and all this stuff, it's going to like work out, because it's just, there's no other way. I'm like, literally, yeah, I'm in a good place.
All right. Well, we have been at this for a while. So do you want to plug yourself? And obviously I'll link you and tag you and everything, but if there's any like last words of wisdom you want to share or where they can find your books and all that kind of stuff, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So my website is www.meganwgallagher.com. And then that, the Megan W. Gallagher, is just my handle for Instagram, Twitter. I have LinkedIn, Megan Gallagher. It's like, I have the same profile picture and title on everything. So it's kind of easy to find me. And then I have YouTube channel where I post like my interviews. I post vlogs where I talk about, yeah, dating, Miami, baking, healthy stuff, really random things. And then on my website, I have links to all my books. I blog every Sunday. And I have links to my two TEDx talks. And then, yeah, I have like a ton of fun projects coming up in the works this year. And then, yeah, if also like you're listening and you work at a college or a high school and you're interested in having like motivational speakers, on my website, I have all of my contact info for my speaking agents, and you can reach out to them to like negotiate, you know, talks and all that good stuff. So yeah, I'm like, you know, kind of everywhere.
Awesome. All right. Well, go, everyone go and check out Megan, and thank you so much for being on the show. It was great to have you. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.